We're talking about the work of prayer, Colossians 4:12. If you remember last week, talked a little about entering into others' labors. Isn't that good? Yeah. We've got others that have plowed the field. Others that have already prepared the way. Even Jesus had had the benefit of that. John the Baptist came and prepared the way for him to come, and then he walked in the way that John prepared. Yep. Thank you, John the Baptist. Hallelujah. Well, we can thank all those saints that have gone before, including Paul, and I'm going to take you there a little later. They've prayed for you. They've prayed for us, and we're entering into the same. What if we just enter into something else? Are we doing the right thing? We're entering into the wrong society. The society's already been established. Now we've just got to enter into it. And we're taking up the labors where they've left off, and we're entering into those labors. Hallelujah, and we can do it. You might find yourself praying in Paul's language. Or sounding like Paul. I don't know how he sounded, but you know. Just picking up that prayer and. What, are we some different body now? Or are we still the body of Christ? Is this the same program that they started back then? Absolutely. We read in the same book. He wrote the letters to us. Right here. We're sitting here today in Old Orchard Beach. Talking about the same thing that he was talking about. We're picking up the same thing. We're going on the same labor, and we get the benefit of finishing this thing off. That's exciting. That's really exciting. Hallelujah. You ready to pray? I always like to pray before I read the word. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your living, breathing word. Flego brede di dinglat in de bench dinong grond dande hey hukum baksao. We enter into this word. We breathe in your word. We love your word. Glory be to God. You are alive and active today in the earth. Lengo bruna. Let us enter into the labors of the word this evening that we may grow and be true workers in the kingdom of God. Show us how to be effective, Father. We want more. We want to enter up into a higher place, a deeper realm, a greater glory. And we believe it is through your word and your spirit. We love you, Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12. Hallelujah. Epaphras, who is one of you, he's one of what? He's one of you. You didn't know you had a brother named that, did you? I still don't know how to pronounce it. A servant of Christ salutes you. There he's saluting you. Glory be to God. And you think, I'm not making this up. He is alive today, people. He gets a kick out of it. He's glad that we're talking about this verse. The Bible says we have a cloud of witnesses. I believe there's times when they can sit there and look down on you. Especially the spiritual things, right? And he gets a kick out of it. He's one of you. He's a servant of Christ. He salutes you, always laboring fervently for you in what? In prayers. So he's laboring fervently for you, meaning working. He's working at it hard for you in prayers that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Who is he praying for here? So he's praying for you. Well, what about you doing your own praying? That's good too. Well, what we're going to talk about a little bit tonight is how we can pray for other people. We can take up some labors for them. They wouldn't have gotten to the place where they were in Ephesus there if it wasn't for this man praying. What did his prayers do? Nothing? Absolutely not. He was doing work for them, spiritual work, so that they could stand perfect in all the will of God. But this carries over into our day. Those prayers are still going on, and we can grab on to where they left off, and we can stand perfect in all the will of God. Who? The world? No, you. And when we talk about intercession, I hate to use that word too much because some people have gotten weird with it. but it means taking the place of another. And this is what he was doing. He was praying for them where they couldn't pray for themselves. And sometimes that's just the way it is. You're too close to the problem. You know? You're wrestling with something, you're beating up on it, but it's pretty easy for me to come. I'm not messing with the problem. So I can come in and pray for you with completely brand new. It's like when you're wrestling in a wrestling match, you know, the tag team wrestling, and you've just about had enough. The guy's been beating you up. So what do? You try to scooch over to the side of the ring and reach your hand out as far as you can. And if he can touch it, guess what? He's got some fresh meat. He can jump in. He's been all relaxed and ready to go. That's Epaphras. Right? Because you're coming at it from the outside. We can gang up on things. Always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. So what was his prayers concerning? Them standing perfect and complete in some of the will of God? No, in all of the will of God. That's a big prayer. Amen. This is why he was laboring fervently always. Always. You think in all way? You think there were times when they weren't in all the will of God? Why would he be laboring fervently if they were in all the will of God? They weren't. There's a price to pay, and this is the work of the Spirit. I hope you're seeing that. And if we can grab onto this same prayer, it's the same prayer. We're going to labor fervently that this body can stand perfect in all the will of God, whatever that is. And we know some of it. Actually, we know a lot of it. We know a lot of it. We have a lot more light and therefore a lot more responsibility than maybe some churches down the street. Not criticizing them, but we have a lot more to stand perfect in all the will of God. Can you walk in the will of God if you don't know what it is? You can't. But once you know, then you have some responsibility and some more labor. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So who's he interceding for? First he was interceding for that church there in Ephesus, but he's interceding for us. Not the world. Not people that aren't going to stand in all the will of God. He's interceding for this group of people to stand perfect in all the will of God. So somebody's got to take that up and enter into that labor. Hallelujah. The work of prayer. Galatians 4:19. Why do you do this, brother? Why don't we just start praying? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Your prayers are going to be much more effective if you get some word down into you, and you know what you're going to grab onto. Right? It's the same way. Well, what are you going to pray in unbelief? No, you're going to pray in faith. And once we have the word on a certain subject where we can pray and enter into it, then we can grab onto it with the spiritual forces of heaven and do some business. And that's what we're going to do. Hallelujah. We're going to get her done. Hallelujah. 4:19 Galatians. Jesus is Lord. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed with you. What is he giving birth to in the Spirit? He already prayed them into the kingdom, and we'll go there hopefully next week. We'll see about getting people born again, getting them into the society. But once they're in the society, can you just leave them there? What did Jesus say to Lazarus as he came out of the tomb? Leave him there. He'll figure out how to unbandage himself. No, he said, loose him and let him go. First he said, roll the stone away. Then he came out, and he was still all bound hand and foot like a mummy. You think these things aren't scriptural? This is the Bible. There was probably some weird music going on, too. Ooh, here he comes. The living dead coming out with his stuff all over him. And he said, loose him. He said, take the bandages off. Get him out. Why? Because he needed to come back to life. He needed to really come out of that thing and get back to living. Well, take that a little farther. We're just not going to get people saved. Or get them saved and then introduce them to the Holy Spirit. Introduce them to the society that now they have to become a proper member of. And we do that with our children. We want them to grow up, become a good member of society. Not just a leech. Work off the system. Get it for all it's worth. No, you want to be productive. Hallelujah. So here's Paul praying for his little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. And here it is where he's using those same words to convey to you the type of labor that it is. The labor is intense. The labor is fervent. Do you just give up halfway when you're having a baby? It's too much. I don't want to do this anymore. Right? I just want to watch soap operas. No, you better be committed. And at that point, I've heard, you know, I've never had a baby. Really. No. But I've heard that women about that time just want this thing over. So at that point, they've had enough of carrying this thing around. Right? And they're like, just get this over with. That's the way I feel right now. And it's going to get more. And that it's going to be that hunger and that drive to get this thing over with that will push you through that type of labor. That type of, is it intense? No, it's casual. Bring me a jelly donut. No, it's intense. Brother, you're too intense. Too bad. We're going to get more intense. Like we're having birth here in church. And we're not just giving birth to babies. He's giving birth to full-grown people. That's a lot more intense. Because they're not just bald. They're hairy all over with mustaches. And come out riding motorcycles and all kinds of weird things. Why? Because what is he praying for? He's travailing in birth again until Christ is formed in you. What's a bigger thing? It's one thing to have a baby. Anybody can have a baby. But can they raise a baby? Any fool can have a child.
Oops, I don't know how that happened. We had three of them. Well, they keep happening. I don't know what's going on here. I got to stop taking showers or something. Wow, no. Goodness.
But it takes a little more effort to raise one. And here's Paul praying for these baby churches. And they're baby churches. He comes into town and gets them all saved. Then he goes to the next town while he's leaving them there. You think that's a prayer job? Oh, yeah. He said he's laboring in it so that Christ is literally formed in them. This is the work of prayer. Hallelujah. Ephesians, glory be to God forever. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to get down into the meat of this right now. Brother. Ephesians 4 and verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. What are you called to? We've been on this a million times. We're called to glory. We're called to the glory of the Lord Jesus. We're called to obtain the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you obtain the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ without living like him, walking like him, acting like him, talking like him? No, you don't. This means Christ has to be formed in you. This is what you're called to. Where with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But Unto every one of us is given according to the measure, is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Verse 11. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. We're all doing the same thing. It's the same thing that Epaphras was praying. That you would stand in all the will of God. And then Paul admonished you that you walk worthy with the vocation wherewith you're called. It's like people keep forgetting it. What am I doing? I don't know what I'm doing. Well, this is what you're doing. You are to obtain the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. The glory of the Lord must fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. For the perfecting of the saints. He didn't really say perfecting, did he? Yes. Jesus isn't coming back for, just like I said last week, cave-dwelling, dirty bride. He's not. On the bridal day, Patrick, don't you just want to look your best? You wear the nicest suit. You buy expensive clothes. You feel all uncomfortable because you're wearing the stuff you never wear worn before. But you look good. And you want to look perfect, don't you, on that day? So you do that in a cave. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the what? The work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And I understand people take that word and they'll say perfect, that it means mature, and I understand that. It does. It does mean mature, but that's a cop-out, because the very next part of that sentence says, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's perfect, right? When we're mature, we're going to be perfect. We're going to see him like he is. And we're going to be like him. All the will of God, to stand perfect in all the will of God. Brother, that sounds like a tall tale. I know. This is the work that we have to accomplish. I don't know if we can do it. Yes, we can. The Bible said we could. The Bible said he's also given us tools and people and things. Hallelujah. For the edifying or building up of the body of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the cunning sleight of men, and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. You still there, verse 16? From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual work of the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, that's a big mouthful, but what it means is we're all parts of this body of Christ. We're all growing up to be the body of Christ that is being perfected to be him. Right? And I was thinking about this. What am I? You know, I'm not a hand. I'm not an eye. I'm not an ear. And these are the things that people think about when they start talking about the body, because you can see them. They're so readily right there. I'm not a toe. I'm not an eye. I'm not an ear. I'm not a nose. And Paul talked about the things which are comely or seemly, or you could see the most. Those are really the ones you don't really need as much. You could get along without a foot. You could. I don't recommend it. You'd get along without an ear. You could probably paint better. Let's say you get along without your central nervous system, though. Something that you don't think about. Let's see you get along without your heart or your blood or some of those inner organs. You don't even see it. What's wrong with you? I don't know. Well, it's not your foot. Not your arm. You see what I'm saying? So a lot of things that are more visible in the body of Christ. And that's what I was thinking, you know. And then he talks about by what every supplies, by what every joint compacted together. By that which every joint supplies according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Part of my job is to send nutrition out to you so you can do your job. Some of those are the most important parts in the body of Christ. Are the ones that are going to feed you. Put things out into you. Put the right thing into you at the right time. It's time to move some weights. What do you want? You want some adrenaline? And you want enough blood flowing down in there, right? Those are the things you need, and they supply you to do those things. Look what he said up here for, let's go back up to verse 11. He said, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for what? For the perfecting of the saints, so that they could do the work of the ministry and the edifying of the body of Christ. It's not always the ministers that are doing the work. Sometimes they're just the supply vessel so that they can get to you, so that you can do the things you need to do. You think about the servant of all. Say, who's going to be the greatest among you is going to be the servant of all. It's the same way in your physical body. Like your heart, man, that's serving your whole body, isn't it? Doesn't get a whole lot of glory until it stops. And then people are very sad that it stopped. But you know what? This is why Paul kept using this language. You guys still here? Hallelujah. So he's praying. What is he praying for? That they would grow up into the body of Christ. They grow up into that image. So as a society, we're going to need to grow in all of these things. It's very pervasive what our job is in prayer to bring this about. Paul was praying this, that Christ would be formed in them. Though they weren't just all a bunch of flapping fingers. We're a church of eyes. We're a church of prophets. We're just all eyes. That's just freaky. That's weird. You need to be functioning as a body. And that's what he was praying for. Does that make sense? I hope I'm making sense here. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And this is one of the reasons why Jesus sent all of these apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers so that this body would be a legitimate body and would work the right way, not weird. That's why that this particular body can't revolve completely around me. No body could revolve and should revolve around just the one man. Because then it's just weird. It's not functioning well. That means the prayer hasn't been prayed. The price hasn't been paid in the spirit through prayer to have that body developed and functioning the right way. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Go to Ephesians 6. I'm telling you, we got our work cut out for us. Because we can just look around us and say, well, man, we don't look hardly anything like that, brother. We're going to have to get praying. That's right. But this is where it's made. It's made in prayer. Paul prayed this many times. Pray for me so that I can open my mouth, so I can feed you the way I'm supposed to feed you, so I can do the things I'm supposed to do. And then pray for your sister and pray for your brother and pray. Why? Because this is how we're going to grow up and to be this body of Christ. Perfect in all the will of God. Hallelujah. Ephesians 6. Jesus is Lord. 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching there unto with all perseverance and supplication for what? For all saints and for me the utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Who is he encouraging them to pray for? And I know at other times he said to pray for governments, people, and that you can live a peaceful life. I understand that. But so much of what is God's plan on this earth? It's for his body to rise up. It's for his glory to fill the earth. Over and over, this is the main thrust of it. So the majority of your time in prayer should be doing these things and praying for the development of those around you, praying for you that you stand in all the fullness of God, praying for you to all stand in the fullness of what God has called you to. Why? Because what you minister to this body is part of this body. You could have all of your body working right and you just have one finger that's rotten off with gangrene. Eventually, that's a problem. Either it's going to get healed or you're going to have to cut it off. What are you saying, brother? I'm saying this is why every single one of us, if we're called here to be here, then we need to function accurately and correctly together. And it's only going to happen through prayers of others for you. Does that make sense? You can try to do it on your own, but it's not going to work according to the word. Do you see that? Are you? Praying always that all prayers and supplications for all saints. Why would he say this if it wasn't necessary? We have a lot of lone rangers in the body of Christ. I know I've been one many times. Sometimes you have to be a lone ranger. But when God starts calling you into a body, you need to learn how to function and flow, because two can put a lot more to flight. And when we start functioning as the body of Christ, he's not talking in singularness here. He's not talking in different people. I mean, he's not talking in a multitude of separate people. He's talking about one. Didn't he say that? He started out there. One body. One. And when we start functioning as a society correctly because we've prayed the price, we will function as one body with one head. This is good, whether you like it or not. Hallelujah. James 5:16, confess your faults one to another, pray for one another, that you may pray for one another. Are you guys praying for each other? I was up last night, not tooting my horn here, because I hate horns. I was up last night about 4 o'clock praying for you people. Why? Because this is what this is going to be built on. It's not going to be built on some program. And I know you guys know that. We've gone down this road before. There is no program that's going to work and bring the glory of God in the earth. Paying the price in prayer and in the spirit is going to do it. And then following him by the letter to the T, doing what he says. And if he doesn't say it, we don't do it. Chop it off. This is the discipline that it takes. And we're going to be tenacious about it, but we're going to have it. And you've got to have somebody with that kind of hunger and drive to have it, to make it come to pass. And if people don't want it, well, tough. We don't have time. Patty cake. There's plenty of patty cake churches out there. They'll patty cake you when you come in the door and give you a fruit basket as you leave. Try to get you to come back. They do. I used to go to those churches just to get the fruit basket. The cookies, this one church gave us cookies. I said, well, what if we just wore different clothes and sat in a different section next week? Would they give us a cookie basket? You know, these things exist. This is what people do. They look for programs and ways, and they try to figure out exactly. They find out who's moving into the neighborhood. They watch the housing market. If some new family moves in from out of town, boom, 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 they're knocking on their door, sending them a fruit basket. Why? Because they're trying to hook them in. You know, glory to God. If that works, go for it. I hate that stuff. I want God, and I want his glory, and we're going to pay the price for it. Going to continue to pay the price for it. And we're going to have it. That's what's so exciting about it. According to the word. You know, unless the word's lying to me. You get at the very end, and the last verse says, just kidding. Oh, I should have read that. No, he wasn't kidding. This is the way it's going to be. Did I read that yet? I don't think so. What was I reading? 5:16. I didn't read all of it. Hallelujah. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another. Why is he telling you to pray for one another? So you can be healed. Pray. You know, you got a physical issue. Start praying for somebody else. Put some time in. Watch and pray. Put some time in and pray for somebody else. Watch them get healed. They may be wrestling with something and they just can't seem to get beyond it. They're doing their confession. They're struggling over it. Tag team time. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The effectual, fervent prayer. Effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The Amplified says makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. It makes the power available to who? It's just in the atmosphere, in the ozone. It's like a big plug. No, it makes that power available to the person you're praying for. Seems pretty obvious to me. You pray for somebody, all of a sudden they get victory over something because power just became, you empowered them. You came in and took big hefty boy off their back and threw him out of the ring. Power became available to them that they didn't have before because you prayed for them. Who are you praying for? Your body. The people in your body. And then we can all grow up into him in all things. And that's good. All things is all things. Financially. Spiritually. Mentally. Glorily. That's not even a word. But we're going to grow up into it. It is now. That's right. Pray for one another. Effectual, fervent prayer for one another of a righteous man. Hallelujah. And what are you doing? You're praying for somebody else. You're the righteous man. You're standing in right standing with God. Your prayers are going to avail much. For who? The person you're praying for. I think of Moses. When he was praying for the children of Israel. God was just going to burn them up. He said, I've had enough of them. Stand back, Moses. I'm coming at him. And he says, no, you take me then. You brought me out here. If you're going to take them, take me too. That's tough. That's the kind of fervency and attitude it takes to pray for somebody else. You enter into their position. You say, no, they're my brothers. They're my sister. You brought them out here. We're together in this. We're not going down. We're going over, every single one of us. No man left behind. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, makes tremendous power available. Look over Philippians 1:19. Mark those up. Those are good verses. Philippians 1:19. This one's even better. Philippians chapter 1, verse 19. For I know, Paul says. Oh, he's wondering about it, brother. He doesn't really know. He's just hoping. No, he says, I know this. Listen to me. Do you know that when you pray for something, it's going to happen? Do you know? Jesus said you could know. That's what believing is. When you believe you've received, you have. You know that you have it because you prayed and you believe that you received it. He said, I know that this shall turn out to my salvation through what? Through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. How does he know something's going to turn out to his salvation for Paul? He wasn't saved at this point. No. Meaning deliverance. Healing. Deliverance is the main part of the word. Deliverance from the enemies. Deliverance from prison. Deliverance from stoning. Deliverance from all this stuff. He knows for a fact that he will be delivered through something. Prayers and the supply of the Spirit. I don't care what it is somebody's in. They can be delivered through prayer and the supply of the Spirit. It's that same thing. the righteous man, he's making tremendous power available. Dynamic in his working. Here's Paul saying, I'm going to be, through your prayers, I'm going to have tremendous power made available to me that will be dynamic in its working, and I'll be delivered. There's nothing impossible to the man who believes God. And when you're believing in prayer, there's nothing impossible. And you're believing for who? Your brother, your sister, we're believing for you to stand perfect in all the will of God, a true society member. Hallelujah. This is the way it's going to be when we start really getting down on this society membership stuff. These are some of the things we should vow and say. We're not going to leave people behind. You people committed to go, we're going to pray for them. We're going to make sure that we're supplying the Spirit to these people. They become a member of your church or a member of your body or a member of the society. Well, we're going to supply Spirit every day. Just let it go out. Let that supply be made available for them so they can be dynamic in its working. It's exciting. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Is this making sense? Hebrews 7. Almost done here. I mean, you can't say this to everybody, but you're not everybody. Hebrews 7:25. Glory be to God forever. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to a little degree. No, save them to the uttermost, that come unto God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. This is talking about Jesus, and he is alive, by the way. And he ever lives to do what? Make intercession for them to do what? Save them to the uttermost. What's the uttermost mean? The uttermost part, the farthest you could go. Back when the world was flat, it was right at the point where you fell off. That would be the uttermost. But it's not flat anymore. Used to be. I'm serious. Look it up in the history books. That's the truth, brother. No, but the uttermost, it's the farthest you can go. What's the uttermost for the body of Christ today? Come on. Huh? What is it? What's the uttermost for us in this day, in this hour? Cave dwellers? Fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's pretty uttermost. Can you imagine yourself that way? You better start. Now imagine myself as Jesus walking around. Yeah! Why not? This is what we're called to. At some point, you got to start believing this and seeing yourself beyond this. Now, how is this going to happen? What's Jesus doing right now? He's making intercession. What is he, how is he making intercession? He's praying. Now, what? Let me ask you another question. I'll just go real quick through this. Who does he do everything through in the earth today? And where's the authority now, right now, on the earth? It's in Jesus' name, and it's in his body. He doesn't do anything without his body, and he doesn't do on anything on the earth without the authority of a man. Therefore, if he's going to make this intercession, it has to be. He's not praying up there. He's praying through people. Has to be praying through you and me. He's praying for what? So that we can stand in the fullness of all the will of God. Is this making sense? Look at this. Wherefore, he is able to save or deliver them to the uttermost. Save to the uttermost. We all know this. Well, the Lord, if he wanted to, could save us to the uttermost. Couldn't he? He's the Lord. He's able to save us to the uttermost. What does that mean, save? It means to heal, to prosper, make whole, get your soundness of mind, deliver you from all evils, put the last enemy underfoot, which is death. Is he able to do that? Well, yes, the Lord is. Really? Don't give lip service to this because I'm going to drive it home. Hallelujah. Wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing that he ever lives to make intercession. Some of the people that have the most God living through them are the ones who are doing this. They're ever living to make intercession for people to stand in all the fullness of God, to be completely saved to the uttermost. That's the kind of prayers we need to pray for each other. Whatever the uttermost is for every one of us, to come into the fullness of the stature of Christ, to function in a society as a body in oneness, the uttermost of it. Get uttermost on the head. What's the uttermost financially? What's the uttermost physically? What'll be the uttermost physically? Glowing, man. Glowing with the glory. How's this going to happen? If Jesus is doing this, what's he doing? He's interceding. He's praying through people. We see it over and over again. Paul was doing it. Epaphras was doing it. And we're taking up the labor in the same place, and we're going to do it. We're going to pray for each other, predominantly for those who are believers already, so that they can stand in the fullness that all that God's called them to, whatever it is. And I believe that people are failing because they're not believing for the fullness. They're asking for something less than the best, and God doesn't have it to give. We've got to ask for his plan, and then we get the result. You can't ask for something that God doesn't have to give. It's the uttermost. Did you see that? He's going to save them to the uttermost. He's going to save them just a little bit so they can be miserable for the rest of their lives. He'll just get them healed enough to keep them alive on a respirator. That would not be the uttermost, right? That would just be a little bit. This is the way God does stuff. He does it overboard. He doesn't bless you a little bit. He blesses you with too much. That's the uttermost. That's what we're praying for each other. And we're going to continue on this train because we're entering into the prayers that have already been prayed. We're entering into the prayers that Jesus is praying right now. And you start to hook up with that vein, watch out. The Lord Jesus Christ himself praying through you for somebody else. How does he manifest him? Who's the Spirit of Jesus? The Holy Ghost, who's on you and in you? The Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Jesus making intercession for people. Be sensitive to that. And we'll pray for people, and they'll just come up and you start praying for them. Don't think you're wasting your time. I should be praying for myself. You are. You are. We're one of each other. And if I pray for you and you stand in all the fullness of God, well, your prayers are going to be a lot more effective for me then, aren't they? Sometimes it's just more beneficial to pray for somebody else. Get your mind off yourself all the time. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for your word. We are going to do this thing. We are not going to hold back. We want to have you pleased. This is your plan. This is your program, and we enter into it. We're seeing more and more of it even tonight, and we grab onto that, and we pray for one another, and we will see this body rise up in the earth and be filled with the glory of the Lord. We will see it, and we will not back down in Jesus' name. The work's just beginning. It's been going on for thousands of years, people. We're just at the end of it. We can see stuff that they couldn't see before. You know that? I don't know if you're on a project or something. I hate it until you can start seeing what actually is starting to look like. Then it's like, hey, wait, this looks like a golf cart or something. I don't know what it was before, but I'm starting to get into this. Well, we've got the benefit of being able to see some of this stuff. All right. Glory be to God forever. Hallelujah. When shall we know if we follow what to know the Lord? Then shall we grow as we sow and reap from him.
This message has been brought to you free of charge by the Metropolitan Holy Ghost Society. More messages are available online at www.holyghostsociety.org.